That's melodic drum soloist Brent Lewis with Doom Taka Doom. It's from his 1990 album, Earth Tribe Rhythms. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and so much is happening in the world today. An emergency meeting at the United Nations, the UN Security Council, trying to get a full investigation into Tuesday's chemical attack in the northern province of Idlib in Syria that killed more than 100 people, so many children, and the blame is being laid at the feet of Bashar al-Assad, the president of Syria. But then we have countervailing views that the chemical attack was actually initiated by rebel troops fighting the Assad regime with the aiding and abetting of outside forces. So Assad has denied that Syrian troops actually perpetrated the attack. But the United States and its allies are pushing for a full investigation. We don't know yet what the outcome is of this emergency meeting, but it is a very, very serious development. This attack, very serious, hearkening back to previous mass killings in Syria as well as in Iraq, you may remember, under Saddam Hussein, the alleged repeated attacks on his own people. So that is happening. And major other news in the United States, of course, chaos in Washington continues as a U.S. Supreme Court justice is to be named. And there's been this long fight over whether he should get the seat left vacant by the death of Justice Antonin Scalia last year. And, you know, we will get to that discussion because what is happening, it seems to me, is a general a downward spiral. President Chaos, as I call him, President Chaos has brought with him chaos in just about every facet of life in the United States, and most certainly chaos in every facet of governmental life. And it keeps going downward. And more, we get the sense that there's an us and them, an us and them mentality. And, you know, it doesn't bode well. It doesn't bode well because you get the feeling, the sense that the actual structure of government, such as it was, and it wasn't ideal to begin with, but that it is absolutely falling apart. I mean, it's just total chaos in every sphere of government. So that is happening, or it continues to happen under President Chaos. But I want to talk today about a subject we have broached in different ways before, but it reared its head again on Friday, this past Friday, in Boston, Massachusetts. Bernie Sanders wowed them in Boston last Friday as the big draw at a sold out fundraising event sponsored by Our Revolution, the political action group that grew out of Sanders' 2016 presidential campaign. U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren, the popular Democratic U.S. Senator from Massachusetts, preceded Sanders to the lectern with a long list of reasons to oppose the Trump regime. The billing, the Sanders-Warren billing, clearly did a great job in drawing left-of-center support for the rally. But, you know, there are many questions now. And Sanders continues not to answer them. Let's hear a little bit of his speech. He spoke very pointedly and thrilled the audience, understandably, because, well, these were his people. These were people who were with him when they felt the burn. And all over the country, they are continuing to do these rallies called Our Revolution. They are keeping alive the pillars of their revolution by engaging with the public and drumming up support for this Our Revolution concept, which is, of course, to keep in people's minds the platforms and the ideals of Sanders' 2016 presidential run. So they're doing a very good job. I have questions, but let's listen to a little bit of what Bernie Sanders had to say. Listen to the very enthusiastic response. And then when we're done hearing that, this small clip, we will come back to the questions that we need not only to ask, but to have answered. Here's Bernie Sanders.
In case you forgot, there was an election in November. And Donald Trump won. And I want to say a word about that. I want to say a word about that. And not everybody here will agree with me, but I want to tell you what I think. Some people think that the people who voted for Trump are racists and sexists and homophobes and just deplorable folks. I don't agree. I don't agree, because I've been there. Now, let me tell you something else that some of you may not agree with. And that is, it wasn't that Donald Trump won the election, it was that the Democratic Party lost the election. And let us understand what's going on. It's not just the White House that they won. They control the United States Senate. They control the United States House. They control almost two-thirds of governor's chairs. And in the last 8 years, Democrats have lost 900 legislative seats all over this country. Now, this is what we have got to put on the table, and we got to ask ourselves, how does it happen when we are competing against a right-wing extremist party who has an agenda that most Americans soundly and roundly disagree with, an agenda that wants to give tax breaks to billionaires, cut Social Security, cut Medicare, cut Medicaid, doesn't believe in climate change, doesn't believe in pay equity for women? How in God's name do they win elections? And the reason is, in my view, that the time is long overdue for a fundamental restructuring of the Democratic Party. We need a Democratic Party which is not the party of the liberal elite, but a party of the working class of this country. We need a party which is a grassroots party, a party where candidates are talking to working people, not spending their time raising money for the wealthy and the powerful. And when we do that, when we transform the Democratic Party, we transform America, because on every, and this is an important point, on every major point facing this country, the American people do not believe in a right-wing agenda. They believe in a progressive agenda. We got to take that agenda to the people. The American people believe overwhelmingly we raise the minimum wage to a living wage. They believe in pay equity for women. They believe in rebuilding our crumbling infrastructure. They believe in a trade policy that works for workers and not just CEOs. They believe in transforming our energy system away from fossil fuel. They believe in fixing a broken criminal justice system, a system that has more people in jail, disproportionately African American, Latino, Native American, than any country on earth. Our policy has got to be to create jobs for our young people, not more jails, not more detention centers. And the American people do not believe that we should be throwing millions of undocumented people out of this country, people who have been here for years, working hard, raising their kids. The American people believe in comprehensive immigration reform and a path toward citizenship. So we have got to get our hands dirty. We got to get out on the streets. We got to be knocking on doors. We got to be registering people, many of whom have given up in the political process. And by the way, the Democratic Party cannot any longer afford to be a party of New England, a party of the West Coast. We got to be a 50-state party. I want you to think about something for a moment. Just think about how absurd where we are is. In Kentucky, a state that benefited as much as any other state through the Affordable Care Act, where hundreds of thousands of people, sometimes for the first time in their life, got health insurance. The leader of the Republican Party in Washington is working overtime to try to take away that health insurance from his own people. And the other senator, Rand Paul, thinks that Mitch McConnell hasn't gone far enough. Now, how do they get away with that stuff? They get away with that stuff because, A, they think nobody knows what's going on. The media doesn't report it. And, B, more importantly, they believe that the Democrats offer no opposition. They could do any damn thing they want to do. Well, our job is to start providing that opposition in Kentucky, in Mississippi, in Alabama. And they're going to have to look in the eyes and meet those people at the polling booths who they think they could throw off of health care or not raise the minimum wage or not provide decent jobs to their people. That's what we have to do, coast to coast. So our job is, A, we've got to beat back this incredible reactionary agenda, an agenda developed by people like the Koch brothers, an agenda which is accelerated by this disastrous Citizens United Supreme Court decision. And we're going to rally the American people, and we're going to say, no, we're not going to spend $80 billion more on the military when you cut programs for children or the elderly and the poor. But what we also have got to do is not just play defense. You don't win games playing defense. We got to add on the offense. And we have to have a vision that appeals to people and with people stand up and fight the greed of the 1% and of corporate America and of Wall Street. And that vision is, we're going to raise the minimum wage to a living wage. We're going to have pay equity for women. We're going to rebuild our crumbling infrastructure and create 13 million decent paying jobs. We're going to have trade policies that benefit workers and not just the wealthy. We're going to create jobs by transforming our energy system from fossil fuel to solar and wind and geothermal. We're not going to be firing teachers. We're going to be hiring teachers. Trump and his billionaire friends are going to start paying their fair share of taxes. That's our agenda, and that is an agenda that will appeal to people from Kentucky to California to Massachusetts. All right.
All righty.
So,
Bernie Sanders, speaking after a similarly raucous speech and reaction to her speech by Senator Elizabeth Warren. This was at the Orpheum Theater in Boston, Massachusetts on Friday. And it was a fundraising event to support Our Revolution, the political action group that grew out of Sanders' 2016 presidential campaign. No doubt, you can tell that he has not lost his fire, and you can tell also that he has not lost the connection that he had during the 2016 campaign. He has not lost that connection with his supporters. But what really was this? From your perspective, based on what you've heard, what kinds of questions come to your mind? And looking behind the words, what are you thinking about the direction that Bernie Sanders and his supporters might be heading to? Our number is 888-874-4888. Very, very interesting words. And really, as you know, we go behind the words and we analyze what is said because we are paying attention to the various levels of meaning in what is said. And we apply also the environment of the event, how it might shape what people say, what the history might be that preceded this event. So, what did you hear and what concerns you, if anything, about the speech? From Chelsea, Calvin, you start us off today.
Well, hey, you have the most interesting way of not only having analysis and addressing the issues, but you have a beguiling effect on people who listen to the point where you have no other choice but to call in.
I take it as a compliment. Well, what concerns you about what you heard?
Well,
what questions pop into your mind?
My question is, why now would such an individual who in one sentence, or perhaps two, on the Democratic platform surrendered 13, 11 million voters in his pocket to the Hillary fiasco, the Hillary corruption machine, why would a person at this moment in time do such a manner of an event when he stabbed and betrayed those who supported him, young and old, and mostly millennials? And why does he have such a brainwashing effect on a captivated audience at a symposium to restructure a party that's morally bankrupt, severely morally bankrupt, corrupted from the inside out, and cannot be mended with any type of initiatives, any type of galvanizing certain selected groups to catapult him or any type of candidate into the Democratic platform. It's not fixable. And my third question is, was Hillary Clinton behind the scenes, who is now nicely coiffed, as you said, and nicely dressed and has a new image, is she behind the scenes, and is she pulling the coattails or the puppet master? And who is her puppet master?
Well, that concludes the program for today. I don't know if there are any more questions to be asked. Well, thank you so much. You got us started with some really volatile observations and questions. But there are some very fundamental questions here. And I thought that I was I misheard all of this. But I checked and myself told myself, no, you're okay. Your questions are just fine. But Calvin, you called in, you got us started today with some extremely insightful questions and a very, very clear analysis of what we just listened to. Thank you so much for that. From Philadelphia, Frank, what questions come to your mind as you listen to that snippet?
Well, first, I just want to say hello to you, Teresa, and hello to everybody. But, yeah, the
Thank
first
you.
Questions that came to my mind were pretty much what Calvin said. It's kind of like, well, you're saying that it wasn't that the Republicans won, it was that the Democrats lost. Well, then why did you throw your support behind Hillary Clinton? Why didn't you warn people, hey, if you go with Clinton's views, you're going to lose. Go with me. He didn't say that. He said from the beginning he was going to support whoever the winner of the nomination was. So this is all totally bogus, you know, but of course everybody who's listening today and heard the speech, you know, on your show knows that anyway, because they have the brains to realize it, you know. So that's basically it. I mean, that's, you know, it's just more of the same baloney. I mean, it sounds real good, and he still has the people that believe in him, that it's not so much they don't elect somebody for their ideas, they elect somebody for the personality, for the persona, you know, and he has a very successful persona. He can really put himself over. They love him. They say, I love you, Bernie. You know, he's adorable. He's got the, you know, the tousled hair, you know, and he's kind of like grandfatherly, you know. He's you know, likable to people. So that's the only thing. But, I mean, when you really examine him closely, he's a tool.
What was particularly significant in the sense that it never was mentioned by him at all What do you think was a significant omission here on the part of Bernie Sanders?
A significant omission? Well, an explanation of why he's saying it now? I mean, I don't know if that's what the answer you're looking for, but why are you saying this now after the things that you said and did before? You know, there's contradictions going on here. You know, blatant contradictions in what he's saying now.
Do you recall Bernie Sanders saying what kind of animal he is now? Do you recall him discussing his political identity? Or is it just to be taken for granted that I am whatever you perceive me to be? It's kind of loose, wasn't it? He didn't actually say what his political identity was, ever. He never referred to it. He never talks about it.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, that's been from the beginning. He's somebody who is supposed to be a socialist, who's an independent, but yet he's running on the Democratic ticket, and he cares so much about the Democratic Party, and he wants to restructure it now. So, yeah, of course, it's all none of it fits together in any kind of a logical sort of way.
I would have imagined that at some point, even in this piece that we heard, we would have gotten an inkling that he is not a Democrat.
Well, you wouldn't know that from hearing him talk, though, would you?
No, you wouldn't. Elizabeth Warren, who preceded him in making her speech, clearly is a Democrat. She's a Democrat from the state of Massachusetts. Bernie Sanders never says what he is.
Yeah, well, I mean, the two of them, you know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they're tools. You know, if you go to her website for when she was running for the Senate, it's still up, I think. She tells everything about what, you know, her foreign policy is. And this has been up for years. She's very militaristic. She's very pro-Israel. She talks about how the state that she's, I forget what state she's from. Anyway, you know, how Israel and this state are kind of doing some sort of manufacturing or some sort of production together, you know, and Israel has every right to defend itself, and her family proudly served in the military and all that sort of thing. So she's, you know, pretty standard, but yet everybody thinks she's Joan of Arc, you know, that she's going to come along and she's going to straighten out Wall Street. Well, you know, I would say just don't hold your breath, that's all.
Thanks, Frank, for your observations. Thank you so much. From New York, Steve, you're on the air. Steve, are you with us? Okay, we go to Eric from Brooklyn. You're on the air. Eric, are you there?
I think this is Henry from Chicago.
This is whom? Henry. How are you?
Henry from Chicago. All right.
Hello, Henry.
Hello.
Okay, so what are you thinking based on what you just heard?
Oh, okay. You know, Sanders uses the phrase that most of the politicians use, which I'm still trying to get a grasp at. You know, he talks about the working class. So, you know, I hear him say that, and I hear other politicians talk about working class. What does that mean, working class? Because, you know, if he's talking about working class, he must not be talking about the people in my community, because the unemployment rate is very high in the communities that I come from. So I'm wondering what is working class? I mean, that's the one thing that keeps sticking out to me when I, you know, hear it. And also too, when he talked about the restructuring of the Democratic Party and not mention, you know, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and some of the top Democrats being responsible for the cause of this, you know, the destruction or the near destruction of the Democratic Party, you know, and I know you didn't play the whole speech, but I'm assuming he never mentioned their names in regards to their responsibility of the party being what it is. So
that's, no, no names were mentioned. No names were specifically mentioned. Although, of course, he's talking, he did take a jab at Hillary. He did take a jab, but didn't even mention her name in the speech that we talked about.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, so it's not real, you know, the solution about reconstruction of the Democratic Party, you know, you have to pinpoint what the problems are. And majority of the problems are the leaders of this party. So, you know, if you're not going to take aim at solving this issue, then, you know, to me, it's like, don't even bring it up.
So what exactly is Bernie Sanders? Is he an independent? Is he a Democrat, or is he a bit of both? How do you identify him politically?
In my opinion, Bernie Sanders is an opportunist.
Okay, but that's not the political designation.
But I mean, you know,
the
opportunist
party. No, we're dealing in the world of politics here.
Okay.
He is appearing at an our revolution. This is now an outgrowth of the movement that pushed him forward last year as he ran for president and did an excellent job, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then we know what happened. He capitulated and ended up backing Hillary Clinton, the Democrat. And then we saw him sign on to the party as its ambassador, go out there and recruit. So is he speaking to you and me as we listen to this speech? Is he speaking as a Democrat, or what is his political designation as you see it when you listen to this? What do you think he's speaking to you as?
Well, I mean, so if I'm looking at it from a political standpoint, I mean, he looks like he's representing the Democratic Party in regards to, you know, just the short, speech that he was saying, the clip that you played, because, you know, like I said, and it goes to my first question I asked, because a lot of Democrats more use this than the Republicans in regards to the quote-unquote working class. So whenever I hear that, that sounds like, you know, that sounds more like a Democrat to me, you know, when they start talking like that.
Okay. Well, it still leaves a whole bunch of questions unanswered, doesn't it?
Oh, exactly. And that's why I started off with the question.
Thanks, Henry, for calling in.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. We have Eric back with us. Hello, Eric.
Hello, Utrees. I don't know what happened, but...
What are you thinking based on this clip? What comes through your mind here? What is happening here? What was this that we listened to?
I think Gerald Celente says it best, BS Bernie. You know, it's a return of this chameleon that likes to, I mean, his role is to herd the sheep back to the, you know, their corral. So he's putting them right where the Democrats need them. And, you know, how ironic is it that you have Hillary come out of the woodwork, you know, you have Elizabeth Warren, you have Bernie, all these people that are the most effective tools, because you look at what Bernie did, you know, I mean, that's a incredible deception. That's an incredible betrayal. So obviously they have no respect for the people who they're talking to, you know, because they know that these people are not really thinking rationally.
But what would you have expected him to do and to say instead?
I would have expected him to go away. You know, it didn't work for him. You know, the fact that any of these people...
Why do you expect him to go away? Look, he has a lot of political currency. He didn't succeed at becoming president, but he did a fantastic job. That movement did a phenomenal job. I'm listening.
Bernie did want to be president. His job was to recruit for the Democrats. He was a social Democrat. And now in this speech, he uses we. Who is we? You know, we wasn't a part
of
it.
Those who felt the burn and others who are leaning toward left of center politics. Those would be the we.
To me, from what I heard, the we represented people, the Democrats, who want to make the Democratic Party more of what they want, which is impossible. So the we, to me, represents a kind of delusion. Because how can you talk about the Democrats representing the people? They're completely against the people. And it's clear, and the people rejected them to go for another maniac. So to me, this kind of game that people are playing, and that is amazing to me that so many people don't have any clarity. People are kind of ambiguous, and you see this chameleon that is trying to play both sides of the fence. You know, he is now what's his position in the Democratic Party?
Well, he's a kind of recruiter.
He's a recruiter.
He signed on to recruit to
it's
expand
kind of like that thing that
the
Jesse
party.
Jackson says souls to the pole, and you know these. Souls to the pole. That's what it is. They want your soul. They want you to stop thinking and just join blindly to these promises they make that are meaningless. So Bernie is so effective that they want him, you know, front and center. Because
what if Bernie Sanders has a plan, and the plan is to gain even more momentum than he had in the presidential campaign, do a great job of recruiting so that he has a sledgehammer with which he can find his way and make his way within the Democratic Party and force the Democratic Party to move in a more aggressive way to accomplish those things that he spelled out as a grassroots agenda.
I mean, how many decades and hundreds of years have we had of the same things? People making all these, you know, insane promises and having no intention. Bernie Sanders' duplicity is, you know, writ large in that he wants war. You know, the main production in Vermont was all about war. Now, how can you spend all this money, these trillions on war, and help anybody that you're talking to? As we lose everything, these people want to spend money on war. Bernie Sanders, Warren, they all, you know, that's what they speak about. Everything else is really irrelevant. They just have to make you happy with what you hear, you know, not with what you're experiencing. So this is and the most effective of them, to me, like I always repeat, they are the most dangerous because people are kind of, they're caught in this no man's land of, well, you know, he could be really good. This man wants war. He wants Saudi Arabia to be, you know, the peacekeepers in the Middle East. That's insanity. So anything he says beyond that should really be rejected outright because, you don't have anything productive to offer humanity. And you keep redirecting people who, I always say, if they didn't have a choice between these two insane parties, if they didn't have a choice, they would start thinking about something else. But we're hung up on these maniacs because they always reappear right on the cusp. You know, everybody that was for a Trump is now like, wait a minute, you know, this man is really insane. Here comes Bernie. Here comes Warren. All the same people. Here they come. to tell us what we're the answer. Look at us, you know. And so many people would look at them, and that's, you know, they have you.
Well, they offer us some very sober thoughts here, and they are very much worth considering. Thank you so much
you.
For coming back.
Right.
We thought we lost
you.
Thank you. Right. Kevin, what have you to say?
How are you, Chief?
Okay, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just so glad that we're all having this conversation, because I think in order for us to follow Bernie's lead in terms of what he says, we need to break free from him, because he is preaching this gospel of uniting the left. But I really can't say it any better than the previous caller, that he's only serving as a recruiter or as a sheep herder, as the cliche goes. But to address the question you asked about whether hypothetically we can hope for some kind of Trojan horse strategy, or, you know, that at some point Bernie's going to really take it to the Democratic Party, even after all the chances he's already had and refused to do so. Specifically, and I just want to bring up all the evidence that we have from our experience from the election. First, he dismisses Clinton's emails as an innocent case of neglect, or, you know, oh, there's definitely no reason to believe that this was a way for her to cover up her criminal activity. Okay, that's fine. I was able to, you know, move on from that. Then he turns a blind eye to every single blatant case of his elections being stolen and flipped by a factor of 10-20% in many cases. And, you know, and that's one thing that really stuck out to me with the speech that we listened to. You know, he says, how could the Democrats have lost to someone like Trump? How could he have lost with all the records he broke, all the money he raised, all the canvassing and, you know, all the grassroots organizing that took place under his campaign, which broke all the records that Obama set? So he loses to Clinton under blatant fraudulent conditions and doesn't say a word about it. And it's like, okay, fine. And then after the convention, he goes on to campaign for Clinton after all the obviously he was critical of Clinton, right? But then he turns around and campaigns for, oh, because we should be more scared of Trump, even with all the track record that she has of equally disturbing genocidal activity. Okay. And just most recently, you know, with all this Russian hysteria, you're hearing Bernie going on the Sunday morning talk shows and repeating the same talking point and repeating the same lie about Russia. So I think the evidence that we, from the experience that we've had, you know, and I personally wish I would have known this more about, as the previous caller brought up, his history with foreign policy and his support of Israel and his support of the Gulf War and Kosovo and Iraq and Afghanistan. He voted against, you know, the original, you know, the 2003 vote, but then he goes on to support some of the subsequent
Did we lose Kevin?
Kevin,
are you there?
Hello?
Kevin, are you there?
That's all I have to add.
Oh, we kind of lost you there for a second. Okay. Well, thank you so much. An extremely information-laden call with deep analysis. We're doing well. I don't know whether it is something, but we seem to be having some glitches on the phone. Are we? Let me ask our switchboard, our board operator. Are we okay? All right. No problems, he says. All right. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air. What did you hear in this speech that we played, and what does it signify to you?
Boil us down to the point where Bernie Sanders is nothing but a Judas goat. All of the laundry list of things that he says that people want and whatnot, that is not going to happen with the people who run the Democratic Party. The point is that there's no future in doing the things that are good for the masses of people who live here in the Democratic Party. I mean, Bernie Sanders is playing folks. That's what he's doing. And he sounds like a recruiter for the Democratic Party, and somehow in the future it's going to change its mission altogether and do the things that are good for the masses of people that live here. It's not going to do that. It's, you know, it's very simple. The man-eating tiger is going to continue to be a man-eating tiger. So if people are interested and doing the things that are good for the population that lives here, they've got to turn their backs on the Democratic Party or Democrat Party and do something else. And if he was really a socialist, he would do something like that and start a movement to break the back of the Democrat Party run by oligarchs and start a movement to move it out of the way and do something new that is in the benefit of all the people who live in this country and getting away from the mission of the Democrat and Republican parties, which is to enrich the people at the top or the oligarchs that run things.
Well, you know, it's amazing that your point of view seems to dovetail with the general consensus today that Bernie Sanders, if he is to be of any use politically, it would be to finally drive a stake in the Democratic Party, but not so much to concern himself with that, but to continue to pick up from where he left off and build a movement into a party. That's the work,
Amen.
It seems to me, that is before him.
Exactly. And not give people the hope that somehow next time around they're going to do these things that need to be done in terms of meeting the needs of the people that live here in the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party, as much as it is masquerades as being for the working people and doing things that are interests of the masses of people here, that's a masquerade. It's not there. It's a division, really, a Republican light. That's all it is.
So you don't think that the idea that the possibility exists that really what Bernie Sanders is doing is really building a mass of people within the party, maybe as a kind of a somebody described it as a Trojan horse. You use the Democratic Party to the extent that you can to build your own movement and spin it off the way it occurred in the 2016 election. He built a massive movement, a grassroots movement, and as a first-time candidate, it was an extraordinary effort. And I consider it to be a stunning success, given, you know, where they started. And
I agree.
But in the end, he allowed all of that to be put on the table and gave permission to Hillary Clinton and to the party the Democratic Party, to just take it all and run with it. And still they lost.
Yes, that is so. The point is that spinning off would have been a possible thing to do for him now, and he has not done that. He has not suggested that we move on from the Democrat Party to spinning off into something else. And as far as I can see, he has the infrastructure, the human infrastructure to do that. And he hasn't done that. I don't know why not. Maybe he's been given a warning or there's something holding him back for doing that. But this would be an opportune moment to make that break, to make that break. And he's got the people there, the troops, and reining in those troops and really starting something new, because there's no future in this Democrat Party. It's a dead letter.
He is absolutely well poised, if he chose to do this differently, not just to check the Democratic Party, but also to deliver a hefty blow against the Republicans as well. And
yes,
to unleash this new possibility for a whole bunch of people who are disaffected by both parties.
Amen.
And who are looking for something very different that speaks to their needs and it speaks to their aspirations. But it doesn't appear that he wants to do that. Even if he doesn't do it himself, he could still spawn the idea and, you know, have somebody come into this with him and begin the process of driving a new movement, a progressive movement. But it seems as if that's not in the cards.
No, I don't hear anything that he is saying that indicates that he's interested in that. He's keeping the troops, the masses, in the corral of the Democrat Party, and that's a bad corral because you will be hungry in that corral.
Thank you, David, for your input today. Thank you all for your input. And you see, when you listen and you listen carefully, this is what we get: incredible insights from people who are listening closely to what is being said. And they therefore can point us in the right direction in terms of what it is we ought to be thinking, you know, about where we are today. How did we get there? How are people regarding us and our potential in terms of the possibility of creating change? Are we just to be used? Are we pawns in a game? Or are we people being taken seriously as contributors to a whole new day, a whole new effort? Thank you so much. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Alternative Visions. No, today's not Alternative Visions. Well, just stay tuned. Alternative Visions is Friday. Oh, it's... I forgot. Somebody... Tell me, it's the NDC Savings Club. Of course, it's Wednesday. I have the wrong thing listed on my program here. A pleasure always and a privilege to be in your company. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. You see, what is happening here is I can't type with my right hand. So I probably forgot to list the program because I'm trying to make use of just taking as short a cut of typing as possible. I don't want to type right now. That's coming soon. Coming soon. Just to update you, I have one more surgery to do on my hand and arm, and I think it will turn out just fine. But in the meantime, we ain't typing too much. Thanks so much for listening. I really appreciate your contribution to the program. And we'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.